So not just anything can happen to us. Amen? Because we're following God's word. And when you follow God's word, cause and effect. What comes to those that follow his word then comes to us. Say, how do you know that for sure? The Bible tells us. My hope in God is an anchor to my soul. I'm fixed. I'm not wandering out here in the realm of anything impossible. No, what can happen to us is delineated in the word of God. And that's where we live. Amen. And that's where we as Christians, we gain a lot of confidence in God because we have this secret manual that tells us how everything works. And we're not surprised by what's coming and how things work because we already know God's already told us how things happen. And so we just trust in that. That's why when you can look at a person today that's suffering with anxiety, hopefully I can, and I could say, well, if we can talk through things, we can find out where that's coming from. And I can help you by the word of God be pointed in the right direction. And if you'll trust in God's word, it can be fixed. Say, well, how do you have that much confidence? God. God has given me that confidence, right? You can look at a guy that's angry and you can talk to him and you can find out where his anger comes from. And you can take him to the word of God and say, here's how your anger's fixed. You say, is it really that simple? Yes, it's that simple. It really is. Now, that person has to be willing to believe in God and trust. And my faith in God's word cannot be imputed and given to that person. They have to trust in God too. But if they will trust in God, it can be fixed. Everything. Everything in life has a spiritual component to it. Everything. And God speaks to everything that pertains to life and godliness. When our confidence is that strong in the word of God, there's not a whole lot of reason to become distraught in this day that we live. So don't you see what's going on overseas? Yeah, and I've also read the book. These things have to come to pass. And we're told not to be shaken in mind and in heart. We're told about this. Amen. So, and then we're warned. Don't let this shake you, right? Because this has to happen. So again, when our hope is based, when our trust is based in the word of God, then we have confidence now. And we can then go on. It's an anchor to our soul. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us who are of the day, that's Christians, be sober, right? We're going to think clearly, not with fear, not with anxiety. We're going to think soberly, putting on the breastplate of faith. What is that? We trust God. We believe in God, which, by the way, quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield of faith. This is kind of mixing here. There's some thoughts here in 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians 6. But that, whether it's a breastplate of faith, a shield of faith, the same thing's happening. It's blocking the fiery darts of the wicked. And it says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Do you know what the hope of salvation does? And in Ephesians 6:17, it says the helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation is the hope of salvation. What that does is it protects our mind from wandering into the realm of the unknown. We are supposed to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought should be taken through the word of God. So listen, people drive themselves crazy. Someone says, that person drives me crazy. No, they're not. Because there's a lot of crazy people around all of us, and some of us aren't crazy yet. People don't drive us crazy. Your response to people can drive you crazy. What you think and how you respond and how you act, you drive you crazy. Well, if you had the kids I had, no. If you worked around the people I work around, no. If you drove on the roads I drove on, you'd be crazy. No. Things don't drive us crazy. We drive us ourselves crazy because we don't bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. And if we would think clearly by the word of God, we would be of a sound mind. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You see what I mean? When you start thinking this way and you let this book become your hope, man, it keeps you sane. Amen. Till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Our hope, you can turn over to Psalm 119, verse number 113. Our hope is based on Scripture, which God shows us as we study and meditate on His Word. Our hope is based on Scripture. It's not based on a preacher. It's not based on a teacher. It's not based on a book other than the Bible. And I praise the Lord for these things. I praise the Lord for preachers and teachers and books and all these things. But those things better point us to the Scriptures. And that is where our hope comes. Amen? And by the way, if we lose this teaching, now all of a sudden, this person, this thing, whatever, becomes the object of our hope, and that will be a disappointment. As faithful as many people are, if our hope is in a person other than Christ, we will be disappointed, right? It can't be in a person other than Christ. It has to be in Christ, and the Word of God is His Word, right? And so that's where our hope is. Look at Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers. For I will keep the commandments of my God. He said, I don't care what you unbelievers are saying. I don't care what you workers of iniquity are saying. I will keep the commandments of God. Why? That's where my hope is. Uphold me according unto thy word. Uphold me. What's he saying? By thy word, strengthen me. Tell me the ins and outs of this thing and help me just to fall in line with it, right? What does that mean? He's upholding me by it. That's like today in child training and all that, these new modern things and of ways to raise children and all that. You're crazy. Raising children, relationships in general are so difficult. Amen. I ain't going to take someone else's advice out. When God has so much advice to give me, you mean tell me I'm going to ask for somebody else's advice? No way. Because it's so volatile. You begin to lose this battle. It goes bad quick, right? And so you just, on all these things, jump in the Word. Get in the Word. Let the Word of God be your anchor. Then when you pray, you say, God, I'm having this relationship issue, and it's not going real well, but your Word says this, and I'm hanging on. I'm just going to hang on. I'm going to keep a right attitude. I'm going to love this person. I'm going to do my part. And I know through it all, your Word is right, and this thing's going to work out. Because your Word says so, if it does. Charity never faileth. Yes. The world says you have a right to be offended. Charity never faileth. The world said, forget that. I'm sticking with a book, amen. Do you see what I'm saying? And so this is where our hope is. My hope is not in some person that has written a bunch of books and is making a lot of money and has all kinds of letters. That's not where my hope is, some psychologist out there. My hope is in Jesus, amen. I'm hanging my hat on His hook, amen. I'm putting all my eggs in His basket. And if at the end of the day I suffer because I've trusted Him, so be it. But that's where my hope is. Amen. I hope yours is too. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. He says, if I just hope in thy word, ultimately I won't be ashamed. That's basically what he's saying here. And you'll hold me up. Amen. That's what it's saying. By my master, I will either rise or fall. That's what Paul was saying to the Romans. And so we just have to have that hope. In Romans 15:4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Paul is saying to the Romans, he says that a whole Old Testament, all the experiences that are delineated, all that's there, he says that's all written so that we can know how things work. Who got away with what and how this happened and how this worked, who didn't get away with things, so that we can have patience, because sometimes it took a long time for things to come to pass. Like Abram. He was given a promise by God, but it sure did take a while for that promise to come to pass. So we can look at something like that and say, hey, if it took a while there, it wasn't that God wasn't faithful, it was that some things needed to happen first because Abram needed to grow some before that promise could come to pass. You look at Noah and say, man, it took a long time before what was going to happen happened. All that building, yeah, but it took time to build what needed to be built. It just took time. But it wasn't that God was unfaithful. It was that just time needed to happen. And so for the preaching of righteousness to set in and see if anybody else would respond. And so we can look at the Old Testament and see that. We can look at stories of Daniel who was faithful. He wasn't praying as a show. He just, as his manner was, prayed by an open window towards Jerusalem. He's praying for mercy and help in a land of captivity. And people didn't like it, but he didn't change. And through it all, it sure did look like his faith was causing him problems. It sure did look like the enemy had the upper hand. But by the end of the story, he had a good night's sleep on the side of a lion. And then came out and saw the enemy destroyed. Do you see, these things are here so that we can have just understanding of how these things work and further have patience in our hope towards God. You see, that's what the Word of God's given to us for, to strengthen our faith and to give us hope, not so that we can run around scared of what's going on, no, so that we can trust God. Now, hope carries with it a willingness to patiently wait for it until it comes to pass. I'll just read these real quick. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There's a patience that is required of us today. And we can wait because we have God's word on it that it will come to pass, just as he said. So we read the Bible, we find out what we can expect, and then we patiently wait for it. And that's how we as Christians can maintain a life of no anxiety. We can maintain a sweet countenance and spirit about us, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, even when things all seem to be going haywire around us, don't have to worry about it. You just stay who you are. You just stay, keep your testimony right. You keep hanging on to the Word of God. And I guarantee you that God is faithful and his word will always come to pass just like he says it will. Amen. Do you know one of our secret weapons as Christians and working with others is the conscience of people? If you have a clear conscience before God, amen, great, you can be patient. Know this, somebody else that's not doing right, they don't have a clear conscience. Do you know why most murderers are caught? Because of their bad conscience. That person said something against me. Well, that's all right. Just commit that thing to God. Let God work on that person. You don't have to. Just follow, trust. Just be kind to them. You don't got to be nasty to them to turn up the heat and turn up the thumb screw on them. No. You can be kind, tenderhearted. You can forgive them based on the fact that God forgave you. That's scripture. Amen. And that's how we live. Biblical hope based on the promises of God gives us a contentness to not manipulate or attempt to push our own will forward. We don't have to. If your will is derived from God's will, then you can patiently sit back and just be along for that ride in a happy way, and you don't have to try to push your way, because it's not your way anyway, right? Your way should be God's way if it's lined up with God's will. That's why it's important to know the will of God. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, Paul said, we use great plainness of speech. Paul said, I don't have to embellish. I don't have to make things up. I don't have to, make this look worse than it is, because I have the word of God. I can just trust in him. That's where my hope ultimately lies. What is something that then we hope for? I wrote down a number of things. We don't have a lot of time, but I'll just kind of give you an example tonight of some things that we should hope for. We should have a hope in our salvation being completed. Amen. Now, when you get saved, you're 100% saved. But know this, your flesh is not yet saved. But it will be, right? So where do you get that from? Romans 8, 18 through 25. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it goes on from there, but it just jumped down just for sake of time. It says that not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We have not yet seen our flesh fully delivered, right? Sin dwells in the flesh, Romans 7. But we with patience wait for it, and we look forward to it. But we know it will happen. How? God's word. Amen? So salvation, we patiently wait for it to be completed. Biblical prosperity. You know, if you'll apply Psalm 1, 1 through 3 in your life, you can expect to be biblically prosperous in this life. Look over there, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Pattern your life after this passage, and then expect the end result of this text. It says in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't do it. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So if someone's ungodly trying to give you some advice, say, no, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and check the word of God out. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't be part of a group of sinners. Just don't be a part of that group. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You got people that are just absolutely down on this, that, and the other. Don't be a part of that scornful group where you're just making fun of everything and scorning this and scorning that. Even those that may, in a sense, deserve it. Don't be a part of that, right? Why? Because God says that we're not to sit in that seat. So, blessed, happy, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Instead, it says, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That means you should always have scripture on your heart and mind that you're thinking on. And if you're not thinking about scripture, and you're reminded of that, get yourself some scripture right now to think on. Think on scripture day and night. What's the promise? And he, the one that does this, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Learn the word of God. Learn how it works. Follow it, and then expect what God says will come to those that follow this pattern. That's how we hope. I know that my life will be like this because I purpose daily to make sure this is my life right here, verses 1 and 2. And because of that, I can expect verse 3. That's what it means to hope in the Word of God. We should expect as Christians an abundant life. So where do you get that from? Well, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I, Jesus, said him, come, that they might have a life, and that they might have a life more abundantly. God did not come to cause you to sit sour and soak. God came to give you the abundant, supernatural, amazing life in Christ. Well, hallelujah, claim that. We should expect, as we hope in God's word, to have God hear our prayers and answer them according to his will. We should expect it. So where do you get that from? Well, one place would be 1 John 5, verse number 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Notice this, John says, we have confidence in him. Remember, our hope is in a person. This is our confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Someone says, I just don't know if God hears my prayers. What they're saying is this, I just don't know that I'm praying God's will. So what's the answer? Stop it. Amen. Search the scriptures, know if what you're praying for is God's will, and then pray for it with confidence. So I'm praying this person gets saved, but I just don't know if God's hearing me. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I guarantee you God's hearing that prayer. So how do you know that? Because of this passage. My hope is in the word of God. Watch this, verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. This way, he says, if you make sure you're praying in the will of God, and you then know by the scripture he hears you, then we know we'll have those petitions. That's hope. That's hope and expectation in God's word. Now, biblical hope enables you to live without having what you desire, being content today with confidence in what God has promised for tomorrow. I can live today without what God has promised me. So I can be patient, knowing that what God has promised will ultimately come to pass. And so because of that, I can be content today. Philippians 1:20 says, according to my expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Doesn't matter. I know ultimately, however it works out, by death, by life, whatever, I know God's word, my expectation and my hope will be fulfilled. I will not be ashamed. That's why I love when the Hebrew boys, they're standing, I say boys, the men there standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar said, they said, you need to bow down and worship. And he says, you know what, king? Basically, he's saying in that text, he said, the only God we serve is the God of the Bible. You're not that. We are not going to. He's going to deliver us. And if he doesn't, that's fine too. And in their mind, they're saying, because ultimately, he's still going to deliver us. By fire or by delivering us from the fire, either way, we're going to be delivered. You see, and they had hope in that area. It's just so much, so great to have that hope. Amen. Hope keeps something on our mind. Hope keeps something on our mind. What does it keep on our mind? Look at Psalm 78:7. Wrap this up here in a minute. Just a couple other points to give you real quick. Hope keeps something on our mind. Let me put it to you this way. If you have a hope, let's say maybe you're, you know, I don't know, young lady looking to be married, and you have this hope of being married. You're not sure if this guy's this, that, and the other, and you're trying to discern all that. I guarantee you that is always on your mind. If you're a guy, you have a hope for a job and all that, and you're just trying, and you're seeking God's will, I guarantee you no matter what, that hope is on your mind, right? Hope keeps things on our mind. Watch this, Psalm 78:7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. If our hope in life goes through God and his will, then that hope is always on our mind because we're looking for it to be fulfilled by God. Does that make sense? Hoping in God and having a proper mentality here keeps that on top because we begin to start looking for it. I'm looking for God to fulfill what he said he would do. By the way, that's why I'm looking for Jesus, because he said he's coming, right? And so I can look for him because he promised, amen. Biblical hope causes you to consider the day that you will meet God, which gives us a desire to live a pure life today. 1 John 3:1-3, Titus 2:1-14. This all teaches us that a hope in the coming of God and the day we'll stand before him is purifying to our soul. Why is it many Christians today live like the devil in a sense, and then you question them on, oh, yeah, I said some prayer. They ain't looking for the coming of God. They don't even probably believe in all of that. And that's a problem. You and I that do, it should affect our life today. Don't let go of biblical hope, right? Don't let it fall to the wayside, baby, because you've been disappointed. Say, yeah, I had hope in God once and it never came to pass. Whoa. It hasn't come to pass yet. We mean it never came to pass. And by the way, keep in mind, biblical hope is not a hope that I have. It's a hope that Christ has through me. My hope is in a person. It's not in me. Do we all have things we want to see come to pass? Absolutely. The question is that what God wants for me? Is that a hope that God wants me to have? That's where hope in God's word comes in line. That's why we prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. My hope is in Christ. By the way, should you want something that God doesn't want you to have? Let me say it again. Should you want something that God doesn't want you to have? No. Is it possible to want something that God doesn't want us to have? Yes. If we're hoping for something that God doesn't want us to have, and we're praying God for it, do we expect that we'll get it? No. So don't blame God for not getting it. Does that make sense? So we take our hopes, our dreams, desires, we lay down it on the altar of sacrifice. We become a living sacrifice. We give that all to God, and we search his scripture. By the way, God doesn't want you to live a horrible life. He's come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And he knows what's good for us. All good gifts come from above. And so we take our lives and we give them to God. And we say, now, God, what do you have for me? And as we search his scripture, he gives us hope. And everything he gives to us in hope, we grab hold of. It's an anchor of our soul. And then as we pray to God, we pray for these things and we look for them to come to pass. And every time it does, it's a faith-building exercise. Thank you, Jesus. Just like your word said. See, and our courage and expectation and everything grows in God through that process. So don't let go of biblical hope. Hebrews 3:6 says, but Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confession or the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm to the end. You are saved unto the end, but you holding fast that confidence is going to greatly affect how you live your life unto God. We should be very confident in Christ and his word. We should not lack confidence in this day. Without it, without biblical hope, you will probably faint in life. You will grow weary in well-doing. You will most likely faint under the load, because a lot is laid on us. To whom much is given, much shall be required. A lot is laid on us. We don't operate though on our own strength, but in God's. And there's not a huge realm of anything could happen. No, only what God wants to happen in my life can happen. And I have hope in that. And I trust God in that area. Psalm 119 says in verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. When I consider it all, I just faint at the whole thought of everything. I mean, if I look at everything, God, you've laid on me, I just want to faint. I just want to fall over and roll over and play dead. But I hope in thy word. I hope in you. And it just fixes everything. Lastly, your biblical hope will come to pass as God has promised. It will. Your biblical hope, your proper hope founded upon the word of God, with the Holy Spirit leading, it will come to pass as God said. Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. This is a definitive here. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You can hope in God, and God will not disappoint. If the word of God, which is Christ's word, you're hoping in Christ, if that is where your hope is fixed, you will not be disappointed. You can hope in God. That's where our hope should be founded. Amen? Any thoughts on that real quick? Luke.
Before we taught on it before, but I was looking, trying to find, because my notes were in my other Bible, but basically they were talking about in the English, like the etymology was like not really known. Hmm. And I guess they got rid of that statement that they had, but they did. It still says that the etymology was not known, but basically what it went on to say is they think that it may have came from hop. So the interesting thing about it is that it's heavy when you study the origin of that word, like from the Bible.
Yeah.
Like when we think about the English word hope, like it's mostly, like every dictionary and etymology will go back to the Bible because the Bible basically is where it seems like that originated, that whole thought, that word, everything. And the idea I got from it then was that so much of an expectation, like that verse you mentioned in Proverbs, you know, that's kind of like what hope is. In Proverbs chapter 8, you know, it says that the creature, the earnest expectation of the creature, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then it says, but we have that same earnest expectation, that it really does have, like, hope has within it the idea of trust, but like our trust and belief in God has more to do with right here and now.
Yeah.
Hope has more to do with what's to come, what's in the future.
Amen.
And so, basically, like, it just the thought is that it still makes me think. It's an earnest expectation that should fill us with joy. So much so that we're hopping at
the, hopping. I guess.
Yes, we're hopping with the expectation of it.
Yeah, that it will happen.
It's almost like, you're waiting on somebody, you're really excited they're going to come, and you hear that they're right.
Yeah.
They're right around the way. They're And you're basically just hopping with joy because of the hope that you're.
Amen. You can trust God, is the whole point. You can trust God today. You can trust God that what He says will happen. You can trust practically God in your lives. And if whatever you have going on in your life, prove it out by the Word of God, and then hang on to that. That becomes the anchor of your soul. And then, As the anxiety comes, just go right back to the Word of God and say, no, God said this. This is where my hope is. And then set it aside. And then do what God wants you to do. You don't have to worry because our hope is in Him. Amen. And He will always bring to pass what He says He will. Maybe not in our time frame, but that's okay. We know it'll happen. We just don't know when. That's fine. So stay busy about the Lord's business until it does. It's good. Praise the Lord. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your scriptures, which do give us hope. And God, we do look for your coming. God, we look for you to do certain things because you said you will do them. That's on a world basis, a nation basis, in certain people groups, and also in your children, in your people. As we follow your word in different areas, there is a cause and effect always. And we look for those to be fulfilled. Thank you, God, for that. Help us this week to maybe try to live out this study on hope today. Help us to live it out this week, God, so that we can prove you on these things and really enjoy it. It's a joy to find these passages and that we see as promises, God, and just trust them and know that, God, you will fulfill everything, God, as your word says it will. This is how you've built creation. This is how you've built our world. It's based on the Word of God. And so thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for hope. That is our anchor, the anchor of our soul. Bless now this evening as we go out and enjoy maybe a few of us, a couple, maybe s'mores, things like that with the kids. Thank you for what you're doing in the kids' lives. Help them, Lord, to know you, to desire righteousness in the midst of this generation we live. Might we see just a great move of God take place in and throughout this work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.